Jethro is going to read the story from the Bible of the account of Jesus rising from the dead from Matthew's Gospel. Thanks, Jethro. And then Tim's going to explain
Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10, the resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Happy Easter, everyone. Special welcome to anyone joining us for the first time. I know some of my windsurfing friends are watching. If you're joining us for the first time, we're praying that God would really be speaking to you and that God would be speaking to us all in these days. I was speaking to Sheila Charman, one of our members this week. Hi, Sheila, Keith and Paul. I know you're watching. Sheila was saying that Easter has always been the celebration she gets most excited about, even more than Christmas. And I know she loves Christmas. And I was thinking about that and thinking there's something about Easter that can bring hope and joy like nothing else. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Resurrection joy. But I'm aware that with all that's going on in the world at the moment, joy might feel like the last thing on your mind, maybe even kind of inappropriate in some way. And that would have been exactly the same on that first Easter. If you talked to the women or the disciples about joy first thing on Easter morning, they would have thought you were crazy. They just had the most awful few days of their lives. Maybe you can relate to that feeling. Perhaps you've had some of the hardest days of your life recently. Maybe you're anticipating them. Perhaps you feel a bit like the girl in the film Inside Out. We watched this as a family this weekend, where kind of like all the color out of life has drained away and joy is missing. And this is where we need to remember that the very first Easter doesn't begin in joy or celebration or with Easter eggs. It begins in darkness and hopelessness. Our reading starts verse 1 at dawn, and the women that we follow on this journey are going to a tomb. This is more like a funeral. Imagine them trying to get their heads around everything. You know, just a week ago, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem like a king. Remember the crowds cheering, hope stirring. But now it's all gone wrong. He was arrested in the middle of the night, refusing to even give kind of like to even put up a fight, like he'd given up. Secret trial, condemned to death, and then to everyone's horror, crucified the next day. And with their leader gone and their lives at risk, Jesus' followers had scattered. And these brave women, they're coming to the tomb in grief, hoping that the guards will let them anoint the body with herbs and with perfumes. Joy seems like the last thing you'd expect here. And yet this is exactly where it emerges. Verse 8 says, these grieving women are filled with joy. That's not more normal. This morning, I want to talk about something that's so powerful and wonderful that not only did it transform the lives of these women and the disciples, but continues to transform the lives of countless numbers of people all across the world. This is the power of the resurrection that can transform your life, my life, even today, turning sadness into joy. Joy is possible, firstly. You know, reading the account of the resurrection leads to lots of questions, not least, did this really happen? You know, dead people don't come back to life. In his testimony, Tom mentioned the evidence for the resurrection, and it's very compelling. The absence of the body from the tomb, the many witnesses, more than 500 people met the risen Jesus, the way the disciples suddenly went to, from kind of fear to courage and faith, all kinds of evidence. But interestingly, the Bible doesn't really focus on that. Instead, it seeks to show that the resurrection should not have been a surprise, but was in fact inevitable. In Acts 2:24, the Apostle Paul writes this, "But God raised him, that is Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now, this is surprising. This claims that the impossible thing that first Easter was not the resurrection. The impossible thing was that Jesus might stay dead. Why? Well, to explain this, we need to first understand death. And death is a curious thing. For our society, it's been a hidden thing, but that has all changed in recent weeks. We've suddenly come face to face with the reality of our own mortality as each day new death figures are announced on the news. And what has been striking is the amount of fear that there is around death. Maybe you've experienced that fear. I have at times. You see that fear in the guards in this account in verse 4, it says they were so afraid that they became like dead men. And this reaction of fear should make us ask some profound questions about the things our society says it believes. You'd think that, you know, we would have got used to death by now. The statistics are impressive. 1 out of 1 people die. Death has a 100% death rate. We've taught very clearly in our schools and in our universities that basically that's just the way things are. It's survival of the fittest. It's random chance. It's just how life works. And yet when we come face to face with death, something feels profoundly wrong. The herd immunity strategy of allowing thousands upon thousands to die is a logical conclusion of what we say we believe about survival of the fittest. But it actually feels wrong. You know, very soon after I left university, I had this experience. You know, one of my best friends was killed in a car accident and it didn't feel okay. It was devastating. You know, death seems more like an enemy that robs and steals and destroys. It is the polar opposite of joy. Why do we have this reaction to death? Could it be that the story we've been telling ourselves isn't the real story? You know, the Bible says that the reason we feel like that is because death was not part of God's original plan for us. The death is both an enemy and a judgment for sin. You might think, well, what is sin? Do you ever have that sense that things are not quite right in our world? You know, that some things are good, but other things like hoarding food that we've seen quite a lot of recently, those sort of things are wrong. That's sin. It's a symptom of our rejection of God and his ways. The Bible says death is brought in as a judgment and a limit to the amount of harm we can do in the world. And because everyone sins, everyone dies. No exceptions. And that robs us of joy. So here's a question. If death is a consequence of sin, what would happen if someone who was sinless came? Someone who was completely free from selfishness and greed and immorality. Someone who was kind of utterly holy. What would happen? Well, logically, then death would have no hold on that person. And about 2,000 years ago, amazingly, that person came. His name was Jesus. So when Jesus died, it was impossible for death to kind of hold him because he was completely free from sin. Verse 6, the angel says, he's not here. He's risen, just as he said, because Jesus knew that he was free. The resurrection wasn't just possible, it was inevitable. It's like one of those birthday candles you kind of blow out that just keeps coming back. And you notice that verse 2, the angel doesn't have to do anything here. He just moves the stone to show what's already happened. The resurrection has happened. It's inevitable. Joy is possible because resurrection from death really is possible, and resurrection is possible because Jesus was the perfect Son of God. And you might follow the logic and think, well, that's great for Jesus. What about you and I? You know, who are so obviously not perfect. Are we just celebrating today something that happened to someone else? No, joy is actually personal. The angel allows the women to examine the tomb, to take a look at the evidence. But the main thing the angel encourages them to do is to get going. Look, verse 7, he says, go. This is where we start to touch on the real point of the resurrection. He says, go ahead of you. Go, there you will see him. Now I have told you. The real point of the resurrection is not just to kind of prove who Jesus is. It's about people meeting with Jesus for themselves, going from fear to joy, doubt into faith. Going from despair into hope. The angel says, the thing you really need to do is to go and meet with Jesus for yourself and help others do the same. Because when people meet Jesus, it changes everything. The angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look, verse 8. So women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me. The angel says, don't be afraid. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Why? What has changed? How is this relevant to them and to us? Well, if you look closer at Easter, you will see a mystery that draws your life and my life right into the very heart of things. You see, perhaps the biggest question of all at Easter is, if Jesus was sinless and death is a consequence of sin, why on earth did Jesus die? Why is the only sinless person to ever live dying a criminal's death? And this is where it gets really personal, because the reason Jesus dies is because on the cross, he was carrying sin, but it was not his sin that he was carrying. It was your sin and it was my sin. See, on Good Friday, Jesus entered fully into our story. Our story, which is a story of sin and rebellion and death. Why would he do that? Well, it's so that we could enter his story of resurrection and victory and joy. You know, there are two earthquakes recorded at Easter. One when Jesus dies, the other, verse 2, when he rises. One signaling Jesus breaking into our story of death. The other, Jesus breaking apart death itself and transforming the end of our story, offering us the opportunity of resurrection. This is how God can restore our joy, because Easter deals with the kind of two biggest joy stealers, sin and death, such that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus can know eternal life, can know the power of resurrection and true joy. You know, that's what Tom and Anne both spoke of. You know, one of the most moving funerals I've ever been to was of a young girl in our church, Mwaba. It was so just terribly sad. but it was also full of hope. I can picture right now her parents worshipping God in expectation that resurrection was coming, that death does not and will not have the final say. And every Easter is a reminder that they will see her again. And so they could worship. It was personal to them. It can be personal to you and I. Did you notice that when the women meet Jesus, it's an intensely personal encounter. They clasp hold of his feet, verse 9, and they worship him. The restored joy that Jesus offers us is a personal gift. It's not an abstract theory of religion. He wants to know us on a personal level. Today, we're still living in a world dominated by that old story of fear. Sadness is real, and it's actually really important. You know, in the film Inside Out, it is sadness that leads the girl back home, where she finds joy once again. And could it be that God is wanting to lead you back home today? You know, the women in verse 8, they still had their fears with them. And yet Easter means that they and we can also start to live in this new reality of joy, where we worship the God who brings good out of bad, life out of death, where we meet Jesus for ourselves. And we know that resurrection is coming even for us. Let's pray together. If you need your joy restored this morning, if you need your fear or sadness and to kind of lead you back home, if you need to experience the risen Lord Jesus, I'd love just to pray for us. Turn to Jesus and echo this prayer in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that you entered my story of sin and death. Thank you that you took my sin on the cross. Thank you that you offer me full and free forgiveness. I receive your grace. Please come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can enter your story of resurrection joy. Help me to trust you and follow you. Amen. Mopai is now going to lead us all in prayer. Let's continue to pray together.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and power of the resurrection. Thank you that you hold the keys over death, that by your might Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan and that you have made a way. We confess our need for you. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, and lives for the days ahead. We pray for your refreshing over us. We thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Please fill us with joy this Easter time, even amidst the fears around us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. Shine your light in us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your indescribable gift. To you be glory and honor on this resurrection day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.